Man, turning your Bibles with us this morning into Genesis chapter 25. We was going to sing, but after that, I think I just need to preach. Amen. And I believe God has spoke to hearts through that song. I believe He'll speak to hearts through this word this morning. Extended nursery, I guess, is dismissing to go down in the back. And as you're turning to Genesis chapter number 25, we would like to take this opportunity to thank everyone for every kindness and every gift that was shared with us over the Christmas season. And we really want to thank you much for your prayers for my sister as we were away last week. And she lay there in the emergency room. She did give us testimony time and again. I believe it's the prayers that are making the difference. We prayed with her continually. And I honestly believe God just impressed it in my heart to go. And it's been a while since I've been down and had just really strongly impressed in my heart to go. And honestly believe if we hadn't have been there, she wouldn't have made it through that night. And not because of me, but just because we've seen something different that the rest of the folks were missing, the rest of the family and those taking care of her were missing. And got her to the hospital and they did find out some things. But thank you very much for your prayers. And we just thank each one of you for being here this morning. Pray for Brother Adam as he travels home. He had to take Zach back to Mississippi, and him and his brother took him down, and they're on their way back. Pray for traveling mercies for them, and then pray for traveling mercies for several who will be leaving. Brother Carlos's sister has been with him for the holidays, and she's going to be flying back tomorrow, he said. And then the boys will be flying back to New Mexico Tuesday morning. So just keep all these that are traveling very much in your prayers. We would like to thank our visitors for being with us this morning, and it's good to have you with us. And we trust this morning that God will bless your heart. If you look for a blessing, God has one for you. Amen. And if God tells you to say amen, you say amen. You just worship the Lord here this morning with us. In Genesis chapter number 25, if you have found that and you're able, we'd invite you to stand as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word this morning. I was going to start in verse 29, but I backed up to verse 27, so let's begin there. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace? Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, disregarding the birthright. Disregarding the birthright. If you need a focus, or if you need a challenge for your life in the new year, this would be a good one: to cherish the birthright. Amen. Cherishing the birthright, cherishing what God has given unto us, what God has made possible unto us. So many have disregarded, and so many disregard what God wants to do and can do and will do in our lives. And we don't give God the rightful place that He deserves in our hearts and lives. But if we would begin to cherish the birthright, cherish the gift of God that He's given us, then praise God, we would see things and we would react to things in a different way and in a different light. How we have here a very familiar story if you are familiar with the Bible. And let me ask, as we get started, how many have completed or near completing your read through the Bible in a year this year? Amen. I thank God for those. Maybe here in the next couple of weeks we can get something set up and we can have a dinner together for those who have completed. How many realize that there are reading through the Bible schedules on the back back table. And if you follow that schedule, in a year's time, you will have read through the Word of God, and the Word of God will have a rich impact upon your life. And how many of you intend on trying to read through the Bible this year? Amen. I thank you. I thank you. Make the effort to read through God's Word. It will have an impact. It will change your life. The Word of God just does things to you that only it can do. And if you've read through the Bible at all, or any kind of a Bible scholar at all, or have attended church at all, you're very familiar with the story, with the account that we have here of the two brothers, the twins, Jacob and Esau. Esau is the older brother, and Jacob is the younger. And we see some things that have happened in their lives as they grew. How we see that the parents caused some disparity in the household. For the father loved the one son, and the mother loved the other son. These boys grew up in a house that were supposedly, we would term it today, a Christian home. They were godly parents. Isaac was the son of Abraham. Abraham was called of God and was promised that his seed would be that blessed the world and all the nations of the world. And that same blessing was passed on and was reminded unto Isaac as he was entreated by God there, and God told him these things. But you see, as we get into ourself, and as we let self take control, we let self do things that can have lasting repercussions in our family's lives. And we see these two young men as they grew, and the Bible tells us that Esau was in the field of hunting, and he grew faint, he grew hungry, and he grew tired. And as he came back and saw that Jacob had made some a pottage, he had made a stew or a soup of some beans and I guess something else that made it red, then he desired that, and he was willing to sell his birthright. He was willing to give up what was his. And you need to understand something. The birthright is a very important right. The birthright in the ancient world was a precious thing, something to be desired, something to be cherished and longed for, and yet Esau had no regard for it. You see, the birthright was to the eldest child, and to the eldest child the birthright would fall, and the birthright gave this child the privilege of inheriting what the father had had. He inherited the lion's share. If you go on back into Deuteronomy, or read forward on into Deuteronomy, later on you see as God is telling the lawgiver there, Moses, how to bring forth the birthright and how to distribute to the heirs. We find out that the eldest son not only inherited with the others, but he inherited a double portion. Not only did he inherit of the goods, and then not only did he inherit of all his father's wealth, but he inherited his father's position. He became the patriarch of the family. He was the spiritual leader, and not only was he the spiritual leader, but he was the moral guide and the moral compass into what they did. And not only that, but in this instance, the birthright that Esau had, the birthright that had been given unto him, was the same one that Isaac inherited when Abraham died, that through him and by him and with him would all the nations of the world be blessed. In other words, through his seed and through his lineage would come the Messiah, would come the Savior, would come the salvation of mankind, the salvation of the world. And the Bible says that Esau despised his birthright. You know, God has given us a birthright in this life that's ours to claim, or it's ours to disregard. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he's given you a birthright of being adopted into the family of God. He's given you a birthright that you don't deserve, that you are really not entitled to in any other way other than that the grace of God has been extended unto you in that He does not want to see you split hell wide open. He does not want to see you suffer for all of eternity in a place called hell, but He has given you a birthright. He has given you a hope and a promise that you can cling to, that Jesus Christ, God's only Son, came into this world and died for your sins, that in Him you might have a hope of eternal life. You might have a hope of eternity. And friend, I beg of you this morning, do not disregard the birthright that mankind has been allowed to inherit. Mankind has been allowed to receive. Oh, but many today choose this world over Jesus. Many today choose this world over surrendering their hearts and lives to God, over accepting this birthright. This birthright is a very special birthright. It not only saves your soul, but it brings adoption into the family of God. It not only adopts you into the family of God, but it makes you an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. It's a promise, and it's a hope. It's an inheritance that's given to you, because God loves you and He doesn't want to see you perish. But then we turn to the Christian, and to the Christian we say to you, do not disregard the birthright. If you're here this morning and you've accepted Christ Jesus as your Savior, if you become an heir and a joint heir with Jesus, if you're adopted into the family of God, and you know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved, and yet you allow yourself to be consumed by the cares and the lust of the flesh and the things of this world, then you are disregarding the birthright that God has given you. And I want to challenge you in 2015, church, do not disregard the birthright that God has given you. Just as Brother Jim sung that song a few moments ago, people disregard for every reason. I'm young. I've got plenty of time. There'll be another time, another opportunity. There'll be another place. I'm too busy now. And then one day they stand before the judgment throne of God and hear those faithful words, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you, because they disregarded the birthright. But Christian, I'm glad of the birthright. I'm glad I'm saved, and I know that I'm saved. I'm glad that I can't lose my salvation. But I know this. I know that we can disregard the birthright and bring reproach upon the name of God. We can disregard the birthright and bring reproach upon our lives. We can disregard the birthright and bring a reproach upon our church. We can disregard the birthright and cause our children to not desire the things of God, to not humble themselves and surrender themselves unto the perfect and precious will of God, because we have never taught them that. We was talking about this some in Sunday school class this morning, and I'm telling you, if y'all get here for Sunday school, you'd pick up half the message, and maybe it wouldn't take me as long to preach. Amen. But let's look at a few things here real quick, and we'll go to the house. First, I want you to see something. A selfish desire can dim your focus. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" Esau saw something that he lusted for, something that he desired in the flesh. Esau began to make excuses to why he needed that more than he needed his birthright. He said, I'm at the point to die. Well, we know that certainly probably isn't true. He was no doubt a hunter. He was no doubt an outdoorsman. He no doubt knew how to survive in the field. But at the moment, the lust of the flesh got a hold of him. And when the lust of the flesh got a hold of him, let me tell you, the Bible says that he was willing to give up his birthright. He was willing to sell out his birthright. God has given us a birthright, and praise God, I want you to know it's worth standing up for. It's worth fighting for. It's worth contending for. But so many of us are willing to sell it out for the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. We're willing to forsake what God has given us because we want to fulfill the lust of our flesh. We want to fulfill ourselves instead of honoring God. Amen. Esau didn't care that he had the birthright. He didn't care that he was to inherit this important position in his family. He didn't care that he was to inherit this important position in all of history. He didn't care that he was to inherit this important position in all of eternity. All he cared about was satisfying the flesh. I tell you what's wrong in America today. We're too wrapped up in satisfying the flesh instead of honoring God. Let me tell you what's wrong in our churches today. We got more church members that are more interested in satisfying the flesh than they are fulfilling the family obligation that they have in Christ Jesus. We want to be more like the world. We want to act more like the world. We want more of what the world has to give. And if we feed the flesh, then praise God, the flesh is going to win. But if we feed the Spirit, I want you to know something. The Spirit will overcome the world. We sell out to everything in the world. Look at what John said. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 18. He says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Let me tell you something. The devil knows just how to jerk your chain. He knows just what to put in front of you. It might be a woman. It might be a man. It might be food. It might be money. It might be drugs. It might be alcohol. It might be just laziness and just shiftlessness. But praise God, I want you to know something. It can be overcome. Amen. If we want to overcome it. Amen. The devil knows just what to put there. He tried to hinder God's plan. He knew what to put right in front of old Esau. And he knew what to put right there that minute, that very instant. He knew what it was going to take to cause Esau to disregard his birthright. And let me tell you something. I'm looking at you, and yeah, I'm looking right at you. Look at me in the eyes, every one of you. Everyone, look at me, right in the eyes. I don't want anybody to go out. I told him Sunday school this morning, I'm an equal opportunity offender. Amen. Look at me right in the eyes, every one of you. I want to stare at every one of you in the eye this morning. Every single one of you. Let me tell you something. Every one of you have got something that you're allowing the devil to put in your path. You're allowing the devil to use it. And you don't want to hear the preacher talk about it. You don't want to hear the preacher mention it. You don't want to hear the preacher deal with it because it offends you in the flesh. And let me tell you this, if it offends you from the pulpit, then it's offending the glory world. Amen. Say amen or ouch right there. Amen. And I didn't step on your toes. I was aiming for your heart. Amen. It ought to touch you in the heart. It ought to affect you to know that God sent his son to die for you, that if God has saved you and has redeemed you from the curse of sin, that you owe it to God to uphold the birthright that he's given unto you. It's incumbent upon you to look like a Christian, to talk like a Christian, to act like a Christian, to be a Christian. And when the world looks at you, they ought to say, that's one weird dude right there. That's one weird lady right there, because we are to be a peculiar people. We're not to be like the world, and the things of this world, don't forget, are going to pass away, but praise God, those that are anchored in Jesus and those things that uplift him will stand for all of eternity. Amen. When we lose sight of what the birthright is, when we lose sight of what God has given us, when we allow our personal desires and our personal lust to reign and rule in our flesh, it dims our focus and we disregard the birthright. Friend, don't let the things of this world. Now, God has given us a new year. He's given us another day. We didn't have a promise of today, but it's here. He's given us another opportunity. You can make all kinds of resolutions and you can make all kinds of proclamations and everything that you're going to do. It really don't matter. I don't care what you do. You can be fat. I don't care. You can be skinny. I don't care. You can be bald-headed. Praise God. You can have hair down your back. It don't matter to me. What matters to me is your relationship to Jesus. Amen. And how close you've grown to him. If you made a proclamation, if you make a decision today to draw closer to him, the Bible says he'll draw closer to you. Amen. If you choose to honor the birthright, he'll honor your commitment to him. But we'll see later on. And just as Brother Jim sung that song, you can dilly-dally around and wait too long. And way too late. Secondly, I want you to see something. Not only can a selfish desire dim your focus, a single decision can define your future. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I'm faint." Therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. One fateful decision. Now we read later on in the Bible, and we read about a people or a nation that was called Edom. We read how they were relatives of Israel. They were his brother. Israel wasn't allowed to attack them. Israel wasn't allowed to hinder them. Israel was instructed to steer clear of them because of who they were. And the Bible says there in verse number 30, "Therefore was his name called Edom." He had a title that was hung on him. He was born red. He liked the red stew, the red pottage. Has something about a red just struck on him. Him, and it hung a name on him, people, and sentence that lasted until the time of their destruction. Let me tell you something. A single decision that you make today can have an effect on your life for all of eternity. Amen. You can reject Jesus today, and it will affect you for all of eternity if you never have another opportunity to have Jesus Christ in your heart. You can accept Jesus today and hear those words, "Enter thou into the joys of the Lord." A single decision can make a difference. One choice, one purpose within your heart. Daniel purposed within his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself. They carried hundreds and thousands away from Israel and from Judah into captivity. But we don't read about any but four. Amen. And the four that we read about were those who purposed in their hearts not to defile themselves with the things of the world. We don't hear about the rest of them. We don't read about the multitudes. We read about those who purposed to stand for God. But we also can read in the Bible of people who chose poorly and made bad decisions in their lives. We read of Balaam and Balak. We read of Judas and the Pharisees. We read of Samson and the choices that he made and what they led to. We can get into places where we don't want to be. We can be cornered into places, but the choice and the decision to define our future is ultimately ours. God can speak to your heart, and God can knock at your heart's door, and God can tell you that you need to be saved. But he won't force you to be saved. He says, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in." God can lead you in a ministry, and God can direct your past, Christian, into places that you never dreamed and never thought that you would find yourself going. But if we disregard what he wants us to do and we choose not to go and choose not to do what he would have us to do, it can define your future. Dr. Russell Moore was speaking to the students at Southern Seminary, and he used this text and this image of this pot of stew as he addressed the students. And listen to what he said. "There are some of you, I fear, you will be shocked one day by how little money it will take for you to hand back your testimony. Some of you will be shocked and surprised one day how bad the sex was that took your ministry. There's some of you here today who will make choices and make decisions that will define you and can become a defining instrument in your children's and your family's lives because you choose the things of the world over to things of God. We was talking in Sunday school this morning, and the question was brought up about being in church. It's not important. Well, it is important. You don't have to be in church to be, a lot of people got saved that wasn't in church. There's a lot of people in this world that live in places where there is no church. But what defines us and what molds us and what makes us is a desire for the things of God. It's not a church building. It's a desire for the things of God. We watch our church attendance swell, and we watch it fade away. We watch it swell, we watch it fade away. And you say, well, people got this going on. People got so many things are going on. Let me tell you something. I'm just going to be right blunt about it. If you got anything going on in your life that's more important than God, you got a problem. If you got anything going on in your life that's more important than being here when the doors of the house of God are open, you got a problem. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what I got going on. Well, I got a busy life too. I work a full-time job. We got that farm and all that mess to take care of. You say, well, that's yours. Well, I had plenty going on before I bought the farm. I had a shop there at the house I worked. When I wasn't at the work, I was at my shop working. Then I pastor this church. If you'd like to know, yes, I'm free between 2 and 3 in the morning. Amen? But you all expect me to be here. When it's time to have service. But if I say something, it's none of his business. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And if you ain't in the house of God when the doors are open and there's not, you ain't sick yet. I mean, I'm not talking about a hangnail. I mean, you ain't sick. You ought to be in the house of God. Tells a whole lot about where your heart's desires are. If your desire is in the world, and if the world puts you don't know how many times we're getting ready to go to church, and my phone goes like crazy. I've got three telephones at home. I got my personal cell phone. I got my work cell phone. I got my private phone. And you don't know how it is on Wednesday night, on Sunday morning, how often my phone goes off when I'm trying to get ready to go to church. At work, I got 5 phones. And sometimes I got them all going at the same time. I want you to understand something. I'm kind of getting fed up to hear with the excuses. Amen? And guess what? God's fed up to hear. With excuses. Let me tell you something. I come home on Wednesday night sometimes. I work 10.5 hours, come home, feed the animals, tend to things around the house I got to do, and then have to study, get ready to come to a midweek service. And I don't always feel like coming to the house of God. But I come here. And guess what? When I get here, I feel good. I'm glad that I come to the house of the Lord. Amen. I have stood behind that pulpit, and this isn't about me, but praise God, I'm tired of the excuses. Amen. I preached with my head throbbing so bad, my wife can tell you that I've walked out of here. I've come to church before I come into this house of God. Walked out behind the building out there to throw up. My stomach was so upset from my sinuses of running. My head throbbing so bad I couldn't see it. And I've left out of here and had to go out somewhere and throw up again. I was so sick I couldn't stand it. But praise God, I made it to the house of God. I'm sick and tired of the excuses. We're not talking about the little league. We're not talking about the football league. We're not talking about the bands and all the school activities. We're not talking about what your personal preferences are. We're talking about the name that you carry. You call yourself a Christian. You call yourself a child of God. But you choose to disregard the birthright. And I tell you, just like I told the folks in Sunday school this morning, you half-heartedly bring your kids to church, you half-heartedly attend church, and then when their lives get screwed up, when the world's got a hold on them so hard that it won't let go, and they have a greater desire for the world than they do for the things of God, and it was always the Sunday school teacher's problem, it was always the youth pastor's problem, it was always the pastor's problem, but it was never your problem. Let me tell you what the problem is. It's because you disregarded the birthright. Amen. I like hard preaching. Amen. It slaps us in a reality. Amen. If you're a child of God, you should purpose in your heart to choose to be in the house of God every time the doors are open, if it's possible whatsoever for you to be there. Amen. And it's more possible than most people think. It's more possible than most people let on. We have people show up at our house at church. Look, it's time to go to church. You know, I ain't got time to fool with you. I got to go to church. I got to go to church. It's time to go to church now. We get family show up. It's time to go to church now. Won't you come on and go with us? But it's time to go to church now. Amen. We got things that pop up, things that happen. My land, I can join the Gary Dillinger Club if I wanted to. Amen. I turn down all kinds of overtime. Gary Dillinger, he was a fellow at work that made so much money that they had all kinds of investigators investigating him. But he was there. I think he made close to $300,000 one year. I'm talking about a blue-collar worker. But he worked around the clock almost. You know, we use every excuse in the world. Well, it's money, it's this, it's that, it's friends. The Bible says there's no temptation that's overtaking you, but such as is common to man. But the Bible says God will make a way of escape. Yes. Amen. God will make a way for you to make the right decision. God will make the way for you to make the right choices. God will make the way for you to make the changes that you need to make in your life to be faithful unto Him. The Apostle Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it under subjection. Why is that? Because there's a war that's going on within me. There's a war within the carnal man that lusts for the things of the world and fights against the spiritual man that lusts for the things of God. And you know how you win the war? You got to defeat one or the other. As the old Indian proverb goes, the one that wins is the one you feed. Esau made a choice that day that had an effect on his descendants for years to come. You're going to make a decision today. And you're going to make a decision of purpose in your heart today that you're going to seek after the things of God, or you're going to seek after the things of the world. It's simple as that. The choice this morning is going to be yours. The decision this morning is yours. There's no more excuses. And you know, the excuse, you might as well get the excuse out of the way. The old saying says an excuse is nothing but a lie wrapped up in the cover of an excuse. There are some reasons sometimes why folks can't make it. Some reasons why you can't choose to do the things that you want to do. There's people that live in countries where, you know, there's just not three services a day on Sunday. Praise God. If you want to worship, you'll worship. Brother Mike White, one of our missionaries that we serve, when first time he come here, he had started some churches in the Soviet Union after the Soviet Union had fell. And every time they would rent an apartment and they found out that it was a church, they would revoke their lease on the apartment and throw them out. And they found out that eventually they just had to go out into the woods, even in the wintertime, and have church. But guess what? They went to the woods to have church. Amen. They made that choice. They made that decision. Esau made a decision. He made a choice that had a lasting effect on his descendants. The choices that you're going to make today are going to have an effect on your family. Amen. Or whether you cherish the birthright or whether you despise and disregard it. Amen. The choice that you make this morning will make the difference whether you leave God's house uplifted or downtrodden. The choice, the decision that you make this morning can have ramifications that will last for all of eternity. And listen, I understand there's some folks that you might not see them here, but it don't mean they're not in the house of God somewhere. Amen. And I know Brother Obie and Sister Robin, they live, what's it take y'all to get here, Buff? Hour? 45 minutes? 40, 45 minutes? But I know their kids go to Awana at New London Church. I know if they're not here, their desire is to be at the house of God. You know, listen, let me clarify some things. You know, just because you don't see somebody here, but they're an exception. And I just wanted to point that out. They're an exception. Most of us make excuses rather than a determination when it comes to serving God. A spiritual disregard can destroy your faith. Selfish desires dim the focus. A single decision can define your future. And a spiritual disregard can destroy your faith. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you leave out of here thinking that you're going to die and go to heaven, on what grounds do you think that? Most people think that, well, that I'm a good person. When I die, I'm going to go to heaven. So-and-so died, they went to heaven. We was at a funeral with a boy that committed suicide, was in the midst of just a whole screwed up mess. I won't get into the whole thing, but they asked for a song to be played before we preached the service, and it got down to this. It was one of them gangster rap songs, and my homeboy's done been capped, and he's done up there with the big man. I got news for you. If he didn't know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, that's what mattered. Not being a homeboy, not being a good old boy, not being one of the world's crowd, but being one of God's crowd is the thing that makes the difference. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's what sealed the thing. That's what made the difference in one's life. And you can be the goodest old fella and the best old boy and a homie and everything else. But let me tell you something. When you neglect God's gift of salvation, you'll split hell wide open. You can, that's a true story. I mean, that is absolutely the truth. And everybody thinks everybody's going to heaven. Brother Billy pointed out in Sunday school class this morning, the Bible says where your desire is, that's where your heart is. That kind of tells you a whole lot right there. That kind of seals it all. That kind of ends the argument right there. You can destroy your faith by disregarding God's offer of salvation. You know, the Bible says there's a measure of faith in each one of us that allows us to trust and believe and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. But there's a faith that grows within those who know Christ as their Savior and should grow and should propel them along the way of a journey that draws them closer to God. But when we disregard that birthright, that faith can wane and that faith can waver. And we can make bad decisions and bad choices. We can find ourselves in bad situations that we never intended to get in. Let me ask you something. How many of you here this morning ever found yourself in a place, in a bad situation where you knew you had sinned against God and you had intended to get there? You intended to go there? Most of the time we don't. It's after we got there, we realized. Amen. But we've all been there. Now, I can attest to that. We've all been there. But we can take ourselves to a place where we can get to the point where there remains no more sacrifice. There remains no more remedy. You say, well, God's grace runs out. No. But God's patience can wear out. He's a long-suffering God. If you turn over in your Bibles into Hebrews chapter 12, I want you to read this with me as we close. Hebrews chapter 12. We find what happens when you live for the moment. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, we find out what happens when you disregard the birthright. Hebrews chapter 12, we find out what happens when we desire the things of this world more than we desire the things of God. The Bible says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Now listen to verse number 17 and listen very, very carefully. For you know how that afterward, when he should have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Friends, we can disregard our spiritual birthright, our spiritual relationship with God. And we can grow so cold and so calloused. And we can do things our own way and in our own time because I'm my own man and I'm my own woman. And come to a place where we seek repentance. We seek for that burden to be lifted. We seek for that reproach to be taken away. But it's too late because we've already made a decision that's defined who we will be and how we will be known. Preachers who have sinned against God and have committed adultery, song leaders run off with the piano player. It's not a problem in our church, but it is in some. Amen. Ours married. Hallelujah. But it's happened more than once. Christian people who have destroyed their testimony. And they're looking for that restoration. They're looking for that place where they can say, I was wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong. And change this and bring it back. And he can't. Friends, you can go too far with God. We don't preach that enough, I don't think. We preach so much about his long suffering. We preach so much about his loving nature and his loving kindness that we forget to remind people that you can go too far. Esau sought a place of repentance, but he found none. He wanted that birthright back. He wanted that ministry back. He wanted that place back that he once possessed, but he couldn't have it. That man had heard the word of God, that heard the message of salvation, that knew he needed to be saved. That woman who spurned the preaching, the teaching, the witness of the word of God so many times and steps out into eternity and would give one less, give everything they had for just one more opportunity, one more time to be able to find repentance, but they find none. God has given us a precious gift. He's given us a blessed birthright. And as we start a new year, as we birth a new year, as Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church starts into a new year, let's go into a new year cherishing, relishing, and honoring the birthright, honoring what God has done for us and wants to do for us and will do for us. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart, and if you're here this morning and you've made 50 professions, but you know it's just all been vain words, won't you give Jesus Christ your heart this morning? Won't you cherish the birthright? Christian, if you're here and you've not been faithful and you've not been true to God in every aspect and every instance of your life, if he's not first and foremost in everything and you don't cherish him the way that you should in your life, this morning, won't you purpose in your heart? Won't you make a decision this morning that can have a positive impact, can be a positive influence on your family and your friends around you? Don't forget this morning. See, the birthright that Esau disregarded was the one through which the Savior came.